A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning to you, Katima Mulilo. Good morning to you, Marienthal. Good morning to you, Aranos. Good morning to you, Vergenoeg. Good morning to you, Wavishbeni. Good morning to you, Opua. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome to your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM, and my name is Mike Oshoveli, and thanks for joining us this morning. And it's a pleasure to be in your company, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. So our time is 8 o'clock, 8 opticop, right opticop, you know, and welcome to unpacking the day. So your daily dose of what really going on in business, in economic, in politics, and everything in between. So every weekdays, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark a meaningful conversation to so that you can also take part in this big conversation. So, woman. Oh, this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. That sneaked up on me. Absolutely sneaked up on me. All right. So, our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of eight. And today is the 18th of September, 2025. As usual, we start with what happened on this day in Africa. So let's get into our segment of in this day in Africa, what happened? Do we have any significant event that happened on this day in Africa? On the 18th of September in 1961, a Swedish diplomat, Dag Hammarskjöld, then he was then a Secretary General of the United Nations in 1961, died when his plane crashed near Ndola. This was in northern Rhodesia, and northern Rhodesia today is Zambia. So he was on a peace mission to the newly independent Congo en route to negotiate a ceasefire with Moise Tshombe. Moise Tshombe was the Katanga rebel force. So the crash killed all on board. It killed all aboard, 16 people, and remain a controversial with debate over whether it was really an accident or a pilot error or it was an external attack. Up to now, nobody knows. And in Burundi, on the very same, also on 18th of September in 1961, a parliamentary election were held in Burundi. By then it was known Rwanda-Urundi under the Belgian administration. So the election was to elect all 64 seats of its national assembly. Now, the Union of National Progress, UPRONA, led by Prince Louis Rwagasore, won a landslide victory. They won a landslide victory, capturing 58 of the 64 seat with over 80% of the vote. So the election was a very crucial step towards Burundi's independence, which came in July 1962. So, in 1914, on the 18th of September 1914, South African troop landed in German Southwest Africa, present day Namibia, a land of the brave, to begin an effort to dislodge the German colonial forces during the World War One. So, in 1898, September 18, 1998, the United Nations condemned Libya, Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Congo, for violating the UN embargo against Libya. So, well, yeah, that's all what we have on this day, in Africa. So those are some of the significant events that have taken place in Africa and the course of history in Africa. So today is Thursday, the 18th of September. So what is our thought for the day today? So if you are angry, do not speak. If you speak, do not be angry. So simple principle, eh? If you are angry, do not speak. And if you speak, do not be angry. All right? So now the proverb means that when you are angry, it is best to hold back from speaking immediately because your words may be harsh, it could be hurtful or regrettable later. So it advises controlling your emotion before expressing yourself. So conversely, if you do speak, then it suggests you should do so calmly and without anger to communicate clearly and constructively. So essentially, the proverb emphasizes the importance of managing anger to maintain respectful and thoughtful communications. So if you are angry, do not speak, and if you speak, do not be angry. Hopefully, this would help how you choose and make decision in the course of the day today. So, hold control your emotions before expressing yourself. So, very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day, coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. So what you can expect today in our program, in our show, so we all see how the National Youth Development Fund has been executed. You know, it came, and now the submission has been made. Now, we reflect on that a little bit. There are a couple of people who have reflected on that as well. And we're looking at, is it now the National Youth Development Plan, is it hope or actually a heartbreak? So we look at that. We're going to look at that in a little bit more details. And we have another story, a story that came in yesterday's edition of the Villager. Kabango East records higher level of poverty lack of basic services. We're going to go into that as well if we have time. And something that I have been postponing, new report warns Africa to avoid new colonialism in green deals. So we're going to do that. So if I don't get into that today, so probably we're going to throw that story now. So, all right. So as you can see, there's so much to expect and very interesting as well that we will talk about this morning. So stay tuned. We will be back in a short while.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, any event that you want to broadcast at national level. So if you want to advertise your business or just have your event or function or business conference or business celebration or event or any celebration or workshop or conference, and you want to broadcast that live through streaming and broadcasting, contact our office at number 083-288-400. So today is Thursday, and tomorrow will be Friday, and the Villager Friday edition will be out. And before it get out, make sure that you subscribe so that you get tomorrow's editions. And if you really looking for the latest business and economic news, so make sure that you get yourself a free copy if you subscribe. To the Villager. So what you need to do, you just send a WhatsApp message. That's all what you need to do. Send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 08-200-4144, 08-200-4144, and be sure that you save that number as a contact number, because we don't want to be, you know, who is this one, all right? So the Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. It's published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Make sure that you get yourself a free copy by tomorrow already. Get a Friday copy tomorrow. So, and please, wherever you find yourself, if you want, I always tell, you know, if you're this kind of person on the go, I mean that person on the go all the time. So what I do, I always remain stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere I am. So how do I do that? Well, simple. You just download Eagle FM mobile. So Eagle FM mobile app. Once you do that, wherever you are connected to Eagle FM. The best thing is that if maybe I was too busy and I just need to find out, you know, what has been discussed in other show that I couldn't actually listen to. So I go to the podcast and then listen. Voila. Then I stay informed all the time. So, well, if you don't want to be that one who actually really will recording my cigar, make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app. So that could recording my cigar. All right. So, and there are so many features, many features, and for young ones also, not only young ones. So there's sometimes vacancies there. So you might find your vacancy that you're looking for. Make sure that you download that, and many report from different institutions. So very strategic reports from different institutions. So, yeah, and then you do follow us. Please do follow us. Do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our various social media platforms. We are on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, so on WhatsApp. So make sure that you engage us as well on those social media platforms. And leave a like, follow us, share, and leave also a comment. We would like to know what you think about all the information that we put up there for you. So, yep, we will be back. Stay tuned.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. It is great to have you with us as we look beyond the headlines and get to the heart of the story shaping our nations. So, I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So, good morning. So, this morning, we are talking about the, we're looking at the National Youth Development Fund. We're talking about hope, opportunity, and perhaps a great deal of frustration as well, great deal of disappointment as well. So we're going to look at all this. So now, imagine you are a young Namibian, all right? You're a young Namibian. You have a brilliant, you have this brilliant business idea. Maybe it's a small tech startup in Windhoek. You're in Windhoek and you want to start up this technology, you know, company that you're thinking about. Or maybe you're in Zambezi and you want to start up a fish farm. Or you are, you know, a tour guide, as a friend of mine that is actually in Erongo, a young friend of mine that want to, you know, have started this this company, a tour guide. So for years, you have been told that the biggest challenge is capital and the money to get, you know, to get you started. That's how you've been told. And that's what your experience as well. You have been, you know, you just need that little money, you know, just to start off. So then the government announces the National Youth Development Fund, a massive 257 million pot of money dedicated to people just like you. And you think, wow, the dream feel now closer. The dream feel closer than ever, you know, 257. So you spend weeks now, maybe even months, perfecting your business plan, running the numbers and you know, filling out forms. Yeah, you pour your heart and soul into your application. You really put everything into your application, and you are not alone. You just realize that you're not alone. It turns out, nearly 13,000 other young Namibians did the exact same thing. You know, 13,700 people all fired up with entrepreneurial spirit. They all fired up really with this entrepreneurial spirit because they want to get a piece of a pie of 257 million, you know, just to get started, just to get kickoff. So now here is the number that stops you in your track, that really, really disappoint you. So in this first round, out of all those thousands of hopeful, out of this over, you know, almost 14,000 people, only 42 will be successful. Let me repeat that. Almost 14,000 applications, 13,700 people, only 42 winners will come out. So, now, the angle we are unpacking today is this, okay? Is this new fund a genuine lifeline for our youth? A meaningful step towards solving our crippling unemployment, you know, crisis? Or is it a poorly planned initiative that has created a lottery, setting up over 13,000 young people maybe for a crushing disappointment. Well, in putting in simple words, it's just, is it a flame of hope? Is this a flame of hope or a recipe of heartbreak? So we are going to dive into the different sides of this story, looking at what is working, what is not, and what this all mean for the future of our youth. Well, stay with us. We'll be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So we are discussing the National Youth Development Fund, where nearly 14,000 young Namibians have applied for just 42 available spots in the first funding round. So now let's be fair, okay? We're going to be fair here, okay? Now, on one hand, you have to say, this is a step in the right direction. All right? It's a step in the right direction. The government has put a significant amount of money on the table, 257 million. It's a lot of amount. It's a lot of money. Okay? 257, it's a lot of money. It's not a small change at all. So, it's signal that the issue of youth unemployment is being taken seriously. So that we must first of all acknowledge that, you know, the government it's doing everything, you know, to take seriously the youth unemployment. Now, the sheer number of applications, one thing also we can look at this is also that the sheer number of application shows something incredibly positive about our country. So our youth, it shows that our youth are not sitting back and waiting for hands out. That sheer number of over 13,700. So it shows that our youth are not sitting back and waiting for hands out. They have ideas. They are hungry for a chance to build something. So we saw this energy across the country. So from over 3,400 applications in commerce to nearly 2,000 in Erongo. So it shows that, you know, they are not sitting back. They are not prepared just to get handouts. So governors in region like Ohangwena reported that the process was fair and that young people are eager to start business in everything from farming, you know, and manufacturing to cosmetic and technologies. So they have seen that, you know, they are eager to start business. All right. So now this initiative has unlocked a view into the incredible entrepreneurial spirit of Namibia. That is something to be celebrated. We need to celebrate that. But then you have to look at the other side of the coin. All right? You know, this is Unpacking the Day. So you have to look at the other side of the coin, the execution. Okay? The execution. Now, when you have odds this low, the odds is too low, a less than 0.3% chance of success, you have to ask questions. You definitely have to ask questions. So, now, some critics are saying the whole thing feel incredibly rushed. So, like a race to launch, to launch something without a proper, well thought out plan. So, those are some of the, you know, one political figure described it as a frantic sprint without a clear map, suggesting that there was no really financial modeling to see how this would actually work and the impact, and how would this work, how actually this would work and impact the economy. So there wasn't really the financial model to see how this would actually work and how this would impact the economy. So think about, the other thing is also you have to think about the human cost. Now, like the qualified teachers, they were complaining about, you know, how much they spend in just making copies and traveling and all that. So you also have to think about, you know, the human cost with the number of people that have been actually chosen that will be successful, 42 applications. Now, imagine the thousand who borrowed money for internet access to apply, maybe, who paid someone to help them write a business plan, who took time off work. There could be those who are working and they took off time to work just to make sure that they finish their business plan. You know, to them, being told, well, I'm sorry, my friend. I'm sorry, guys. Better luck next time. You know, it feels like a slap in the face. It honestly feels like a slap in the face. So, and it's also risk turning hope into cynicism. So, because when you hear now many young people talking, they become cynical. Eh? That wasn't really that meant, because when you look at the number of people that the invitation, the excitement that has been created, and, you know, remember, as I said, the introduction that I put in, you know, to say this is my opportunity. Well, if it was at least about 1,000 out of 13,000, that could be better. 42. How many three in each region? Now, well, we have to understand, the government also said that this is just a pilot phase and people can apply again later. But that might not be much comfort to those who put everything into this, you know, into this first attempt. So we have a good intention on one side, but on the other side, a serious concern about rushed rollout that might be causing more frustration than it actually solves. So now we will dig into the challenges of just applying for this fund, and right after this break, quickly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
I. A very good morning to you. You are listening to Unpacking the Day, coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio. We are talking about the promise and the problems of the new National Youth Development Fund. So before the break, we talked about the big picture. Now, let's get down to the ground level. What was it actually like to apply for this fund? So it turns out for many, it was incredibly difficult. So governors and youth leaders from across the countries have pointed out some major challenges, some major hurdles. So first, there is the urban-rural divide. Okay, the urban-rural divide. A youth leader raised a powerful point. What about the young person in a remote village like Omdangilo? Okay, so someone with no easy access to the internet, who can just pop into, you can't just pop into the governor's office for an information session. So now some people ask, what about someone who have no access to internet? Like someone in a youth in a remote village, like Omdangilo. So how where they're supposed now to hear about this fund, let alone put together a winning application. So the awareness campaign simply didn't reach everyone. I think there has been a concern that the awareness campaign has not reached everyone. So, and therefore, you know, the whole question of urban-rural divide, there are people in the rural that might have not actually heard this. So now, so there must be a better way, you know, to maybe to communicate this in the future. So now, then there are the requirements themselves. So applicants needed detailed business plan, complex financial projections. So those were the requirement as well. So detailed business plan with financial projection. Now, to be honest, that's a tough task, even for the, even just for someone with business degree, who have actually a business degree. That's even a, that's a very tough ask, a very tough task as well. So never mind a young person who has the practical skills. They have a practical skills. They know what they know. They know their trade, but no formal training in writing proposal. They have no formal training in writing a proposal. So even the Kavango, the governor of the Kavango West mentioned that while young people have a great ideas, they are often lack the technical support to package, you know, to package them. They have great idea, but they lack the technical support to package them in a way that meet the strict criteria, because now you have these strict criteria. If you haven't got any training in writing proposal, definitely, as I said, even someone who have actually have a degree would find this actually difficult. So I think it has also a concern. The Kavango governor has raised that they need that technical support to package their ideas in a way that meet the strict criteria. And then there is the bureaucracy. So one youth leader pointed out that some of the criteria, like needing an environmental clearance certificate, so needing an environmental clearance certificates are almost impossible to get within a short application window. So, so it is a classic catch, you know, a classic catch 22, which imply that you can't get the funding without the certificate. But who has the time and money to get the certificate just for a chance at the funding? So that's why I said that's a classic catch 2022. So yeah, those are some of bureaucracy was also an issue that has been raised, and this create a system where only those who are already well connected or well resourced can get their foot in the door, because this they have already these things available, and these are not the people maybe you're looking for. So now, and this leads to a bigger point also made by the national by the National Youth Council and others as well, giving out money. So it's also that giving out money, and this is also something I, when I looked at different countries that also having that youth fund, have heavily discussed in some countries that giving out money is not enough. So for this fund to truly succeed, it cannot just be a loan office. It's not just, you know, here's the money, where's your account, and there is the money. So it needs to be a support. There need to be a support system. Okay? There need to be a support system. A successful applicant will need mentorship. So they will need training in how to manage finance, how to market their product, and how to navigate the challenges of running a business. So there was a show where we also look at that, at other, comparing other countries' youth funds. And this is one thing that has been emphasized. I think it was in Kenya, it was in Nigeria. So yeah, those are in Tanzania as well. So that means without this wraparound support, you know, even the best idea can fail. So you need that support, you need that mentorship, you need that training how to, you know, to manage finance. You know, if they never manage finance before, they have a good idea, they also probably have a good skill in what they do. So how to market their product, all those things, and how to navigate, there will be challenges, how you run your businesses. So otherwise you're just throwing your money, you're just throwing this money right in the sea. So you're just throwing the money into the water, into water. So they said that, you know, there must be this wraparound support. So to help the ideas to succeed. So the call is for a more holistic approach, one built on collaboration and open dialogue. So not just a form and, you know, you just fill in a form and the bank transfer. So it's not just about, okay, fill in the form, fill in the application. Well, whoop, there's the money. So there must be that round, you know, wraparound support. Okay. So to help the idea to succeed. And as one youth leader put it, empowerment cannot just be a symbolic show. So it shouldn't be just a symbolic show. It has to be a systematic. It has to be systematic. So if the process is this difficult, so who is it actually leaving behind? Eh? Who is it leaving behind? So it seems the very people sometime who might need this fund, there are those who need it, but as I said, there are those maybe resourceful, who have already resourced and have can easily make a proposals. But then, you know, this might not be the people who need the fund most. So we might find, you know, those who need this find it very difficult actually to access it because of sometime the criteria, the bureaucratic things, the bureaucracy, the rural urban divide, all those aspects that we talked about. So that is something that people, many different people have observed, the youth themselves, the governors who actually have been receiving these applications. So those are some of the things that they have highlighted. Now it's your turn, to speak. So we talk about the hope, we talk about the disappointment and the hurdles of National Youth Development Fund. I want to hear from you, but did you now yourself, it could be yourself or someone you know, apply for the fund? Did you apply for the fund? Maybe you are a youth out there who have actually applied. Tell us your process. Tell us what your experience was, the process you went through. So what was your experience like? So do you see this as a positive start or do you feel let down, you know, that the only about 42 people, 42 will be successful? So do you feel let down? So, and let's think about the pathway. Let's also think about the path forward. Okay. The Ministry of Finance says this is a pilot and the fund will continue. So what needs to change? So, from what we have experienced so far, what actually needs to change in moving forward? So when you come up as well, you know, give us what needs to change if given where we are at this point in time and how this has been executed so far. So governors have already suggested simplifying the applications. There are those governors who said we need to simplify the application, providing training on how to apply, you know, and making sure that there are support offices in every corner of the country. not just in the main towns, because sometimes this is only found in the bigger towns, Windhoek, you know, Swakop, Munda, and so on. So, and what about the age group? That also came up, okay? The age group also came up. The hard-up governor noted that people between 36 and 40 are also feeling left out. They are also feeling left out, facing the same unemployment challenges, but are often considered too old for youth initiatives. So is our definition of youth too narrow? Maybe our definition is too narrow, so we need to change that maybe. So let's think critically. So you're welcome now to come through and have your opinion away. I mean, have your opinion as well. So 081-08-08-36-06-091, 08-33-36-091. So that's a number you can call in our studio in Ondangwa. So now, so where do we stand? Okay, it seems we have a national census on a few things, on a few key things. So one, the spirit, really, the spirit behind the fund is good. The fact that the government is dedicating money to youth entrepreneurship is a positive and a necessary step. So that's really something that we can really be proud, I mean, applaud and celebrate. Okay? Now, the demand is overwhelming. Okay? The demand is overwhelming. Our young people are ready and willing to work and innovate. So we have seen that. So, and they are not the problem. They are not the problem. All right? So, but the execution has been deeply, deeply flawed. Has been deeply flawed. The rollout feel rushed. The odds are demoralizing. You know, 42 out of those number, it's really, really, really demoralizing. And I have spoken to many young people who felt 42. So, and the application process itself has created barriers for most vulnerable group. Now, the challenge now is for the government to listen, okay? To take the feedback from the governors, youth leaders, and the thousands of applications and use it to build a better, a fair, and more effective a system for the next round. So that's the challenge. So, and this can't just be about ticking a box, okay? It has to be about genuine, you know, sustainable empowerment. So the 257 million represent a huge opportunity. It is a huge opportunity. So, but an opportunity is only as good as people's ability to access it. Is only as good. That's only as opportunity if people can access it. You know, if the people also ability, if they have ability to access it. If there are bureaucratic and, you know, other challenges in terms of, you know, criteria and so on, then when, and then this make people not be able to access it, then that's not an opportunity. So right now, that door seems open for only a tiny few, okay? While thousands are left standing outside in the cold. So, yeah, 42 out of, you know, thousand and thousand, 13,000, it's massive, all right? So what is your take? How do you see what transpired? How this has been handled? So our telephone number, 08-33-36-091. 08-33-36-091. So you are welcome to come through and have your contribution and have your say.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Well, a very good morning. A very good morning to you. Our time is about 45 minutes past 8, and welcome. We're looking at National Youth Fund. Did you or someone you know apply for the fund, and what was your experience like? So please do come through. We want those people who have actually applied. If you're listening, come through, talk to us. So what was your experience like? Do you see this as a positive start, or do you feel let down that only about 42 will be successful, application will be successful? As I said, let's also think about the path forward. So, because the ministry said that this is a pilot, and the fund will continue. So what actually needs to change? Is there anything that you need to change? So let us know what is that need to change. And as I said earlier on, the way suggestions that were given by governors, when you read through the publications, the way suggestions that simplify the application, make it simple, you know. The way it is now, it's complicated. the kind of things that are the details that are being, the detailed business plan that is being asked, it's putting a limit, you know, to people. It's hampering some other people. Very good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, Dr. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, man. We give it those opportunities to those one who apply to call, but they're not coming from
us. Yeah, no. So let's we have given them opportunities. So if they are not coming through, you know, so it's on them, not on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let them be sorry for that. Mm. Anyway, I just want also to add something, because maybe they are going to include us next time.
Yeah. You know, there's also Governor Vardab, who actually say that the 36 to 40 years old are feeling left out, because they are also in the same boat of unemployment challenges. And maybe we need to consider, in terms of this, maybe we need to consider to look at our whatever age, youth, when we talk about what youth, when, what are we referring, the number, when it comes now to unemployment, other thing may be different, but when it comes to unemployment, we have about people, if you are 40 and you, 40, there are no opportunity for you, you are not included in this opportunity, yeah.
The rural housing started at the age of when you know that you are no more youth, from the 35 to 59 days.
Mm.
This is where the problem is. Because those people are hustling. And they are the one who are having what? Companies. Some are having a hustle business this side.
Yeah.
Out there with me. You name it. But they are not looking at, when it comes to government, they are left out.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to employment, those people are just asking people from 18 to 35.
Yeah.
And what about those one who are in the 40 and the 55 or 59?
Yeah, no, once you reach, you know, once you reach about 40 something, 45, and it will be difficult for you to get a job, because they're looking at longevity in terms of how long this person is going to be in a company. And if you are 55, you will probably be there only for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you, yeah. So it's a challenge, and we need to really think about this seriously. Yeah.
But But the problem with us is that we are it's very funny in the country, because it's where you find a CEO, still a CEO, but it's in the 70s.
Yeah.
Now you tell me, you find even a person who's also what learning a business like the, as a manager, but still what 60 something.
Yeah, but then that begs the question to think that maybe people, they're still in their 70, they're still actually young to work. No. So maybe then we have to change. Maybe then we have to change the law in terms of like, okay.
You know, Mike, man.
Yeah.
For me, the funny thing is that you are denying a person who is in the what? Above 35.
Yeah.
But you are still having a person managing a town in the 70. What did that tell you? But you are denying a person who is in the 40, in 50, in the 60. But you are having a person who is running a town in the 70. What is that now?
Yeah.
In the same country, we have put up a law that you must just end up to 35.
Mm.
And now you are giving a people a chance who are in the 70. What is that?
Yeah. Now, what do you think about the number of applications that will be successful? Only about 42.
Very disappointing.
Out of really, imagine now the people came
very,
out,
very
the young
disappointed,
people came out.
My friend.
Yeah, it is disappointing, and, seriously.
Yeah, Mike, and then you can tell me now, Mike, what do we as a people, ordinary people, I cannot call that this is a campaigning tool. Because you cannot tell me everybody went to go and make copies and watch, and you send them all those nonsense. People are spending their money.
Yeah.
And that time, as you remember, this is special of the youth, who are in the 23 or 20-something. They finished their grade 12, and now they're having inside themselves, maybe like the way I'm telling you, that they have some of they are doing what? Order with me, money which are been borrowed by cousin. And again, you are adding on top of that expenses, because now they have to go and register the company. They have to come up with what? Business plan.
Yeah.
Hmm? Now, it costs all of the money. Now you are telling me only 42. What is this now?
Yeah. It's just the excitement that how this actually has been announced and we're looking for. Even if it was now, even if you told me it was 1.5, like 1,500.
At least
you
even
can say.
Even 2,000 or 3,000.
Yeah. So you can say and go, okay, that's a fair number. There were a good number of people that have been taken, you know. So now, even if you're taking us a pilot now, you kind of like, okay, you haven't thought this through well. So you need to pilot it out with that small number to
number.
See how it
what is this
how,
now?
How
it
that's
work.
Yeah, how it's gonna work. So
I can give a try with a lot of people at least.
Yeah, then you can still
we are talking about the 250 million. And they are spending only if you divide that money with the 200. Because they say, okay, let them say everybody's down in that 42, which they call, select, getting 200,000. Do you know that you are just going to spend 400 or something million? And what about the less now?
Yeah, no, what they said, you can apply again. The money will still be there, but then you apply again. And
no,
you
know. But why are you taking a small number?
Yeah.
If the money is there.
So it's. Huh? I think the thing is this that I'm not putting this in. But we also have to think in terms how we can. That's why at the beginning I said sometimes when you ask the question, is this a genuine way we're looking at solving the problem, or it's just you know we to be seen doing something. For example,
but,
now let's say for example you decided the education is free,
yeah,
but then. You move, say for example, you move the number of points that you require to get in the university.
Yeah.
Would you still say that the university is free? Because you're only going to take about a few number of people.
Few numbers.
So you still actually haven't addressed, you know, the issues.
The problem.
Of people now. Because you're bringing up a certain criteria that would still actually limit people going to university.
University.
Do you understand? I'm just giving an example. It's the same thing here. You have the money, you know, and you said, well, this is money for the youth and whatever.
Yeah, but because then, we know that the percentage are a lot. higher for her environment. So we are trying to create so guys can create a job for others. Now you are telling me 42.
Yeah. So now you put up this criteria that are so difficult, that are so, you know, and also the application, you need all these detailed business detail, you know, business plan details and financial forecasting and all that. So which many young people don't even know how to do. And I said, even if you have a degree from university, you'll find that difficult actually to do, you know. So even me sitting here, so I cannot just quickly actually put up a financial forecast as simple as that.
Not at all.
Yeah, it requires an accountant. It requires somebody who's actually knowledgeable in finance, you know, to put this together for me. I can do it, but I still need someone to look at it.
You still, because unless you're having a background of doing accounting.
With me now being in the position, I mean, I have managed companies, I have managed projects, still cannot be able to do it. I still need someone actually to look at this and finalize it. So you put up criteria that eventually limit, you know, actually take out many people, disqualify many people, you know. And people have been looking forward, and you can see the spirit, you know, that entrepreneurship spirit. People came, young people really felt, you know, this is our opportunity.
Yeah, this is our opportunity. And then boom. There we come.
Yeah. I think this time, if they would have gone forward to say, okay, now let's actually have a bigger number, give a hope. And then in the next round, it's where now you're limiting slowly, drop a bit. I think that would be a better idea. But now starting with 42,
disappointing us.
Countrywide. Huh? Oh, man.
Yeah, no, man.
Yeah, no, that's...
Remember one thing, those people who are qualified even, those who are already have. Because you cannot tell me that a person who is from Elana Fiji, deep in the village, somewhere in Dunja, is having a finance fraud. And is having also, when it comes to what, is business is linked to what, even you're having social security and everything was there, and employment equity commission, and everything.
Yeah.
Not at all. Those are the people who are what, like the 5 years old who was winning the tender with his father. Those are the beneficiaries who are going to see. I'm telling you, and that's why if these things are going to be transparent, let us publish this name more, 42 of them, in the newspaper, and the region where they come from. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised.
Yeah.
The name we are going to see there. Yeah, no. Something is not really fair. And this is really disappointing a lot of our youth.
Yeah, no,
I don't know even who come up with that nonsense, and they are doing still going on. To disappoint a lot of people.
Yeah, no,
because what they are supposed to do? It's like if you are funding, not we know where we come from, even themselves where they are going to find themselves in these offices.
Yeah,
they know it's very hard in Namibia for somebody for 18 years old who just failed grade 12 to have a business plan. Done by himself.
Mm.
They have to go to the what consultant. Those people all know how. And how much is charging the business plan? It's somewhere around now, 1.8 if it's cheap.
Yeah.
2 point something. And now these are all disappointing people who spend all their that earning money to select only 42.
Yeah.
No. I think they need to go to the drawing board because they are hating people, our youth, seriously. Yeah. And they think they are joking. They are not really serious with the youth and the employment in Namibia. Because the number is there. But for you, serious, to come up and say, no, we only found it 42. It's really, really disappointing. And I think this is the minister or who's possible, they must intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, let me give other people a chance.
All right, man. Thanks. Right. Thanks for coming through, yeah?
Sure.
Yes, our time is about 59 minutes, 1 minute to 9 o'clock. So we're looking at Just hold on. Quickly.
Omutiha would take a kaguna, e matina, omjo. Josha fatanana, longishifa, ya, she became Oshiwana, e moyao, or tango got it some money. Ana geshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombanawa, orangeka. Seithanina, omeguro, nidanitoma, yue, yongeshifa, yokupira, mo, ikelefem, media house. Gwe 20 pimeha, uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje tatuimu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano talo, o ambiyaj. Igel FM, the eye.
All right, very good morning. And our time is 9 o'clock. And so we're talking about the National Youth Development Fund. Is it hope? Or it's a heartbreak, given what happened. There are those who felt let down when you look at the number of youth, number of application that would be considered out of that massive number over nearly 14,000, and out of that you will only have about 42. So what the government is also saying, this is a pilot. So just polish up your application again and then apply again. And there are so many really young people that have been felt disappointed after all the hype and the hope that people were looking forward to. This is an opportunity, 257 million. It's a drop in morale. So it's a drop in morale for many young people, because they were hoping for more. And then, now that it's only that, about 42 available spot in this first round and the first funding round, that it became really very, very disappointing for many young people. So what is your take? And also looking at what I want you also to think of is that when we're moving forward now, what need to change? So what are the things that need to change? We have governors who also gave their proposal. We have youth leaders who also gave their proposal as well. So what do you think? Maybe you are one of those young people who have, made the application. So what was challenging for you? What were the requirements? What did you go through? Your experience going through that? And just to hear, that is 42... it's 42 available spot in this first funding round. So how did you feel, and what do you think that need to change in the next round? So our telephone number is 0833-66091. So make sure that you come through and have your say on this one. All right, so we will be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha would take Rakaguna, e Matina, omjo. Chicago Shafatana, Nana, Longishifa, ya, she became Oshiwana, e Moyao, or Tango got it some money. Ana geshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa orangeka. Seithanina omeguro nidanitoma yue, yongeshifa yue okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Gwe 20 pimeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje tatuimu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano talo, o ambiyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter...
So So a very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome. Come back to Unpacking the Day. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So the show where we don't just read the headlines, we pull them apart to see what is really going on. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to the veteran, Tate Franz. So he will take you through the NDP-6, looking at some component from NDP-6. So make sure that you tune in for Kwithamosha. That's coming up from around 10 o'clock. All right. So, yes, we're moving. So now, in this segment, we are heading north, okay? Let's head north. We are going to the Kavango East region, blessed with one of our country's greatest natural treasure, the magnificent Kavango River. It's a source of life, a tourism attraction, and the backbone of the local community as well. Now, but this week, a new report from Namibia Statistic Agency, or NSA, paint a very different picture. It's a picture not of abundance, but of struggle. Not of abundance, but of a picture of a struggle. The latest census data, is out, and it tells a story that we, as a nation, need to listen very carefully. I think we need to listen very, very, very carefully. So the headline from the Villager newspaper of yesterday, it says it all. It says Kavango East record higher level of poverty, lack of basic services. So this morning we are going to unpack these numbers. What do they really mean for the people living there? Are these just statistic on a page, or are they a serious wake up call for us as a country? So, and most importantly, after years of promises, why are so many of our fellow Namibians are still living without the basics? That's the question. So, and let's start with the basics. I said that's the basics. So let's start with the basic, the absolute basic of human dignity. Okay. So now imagine starting your day. Okay, imagine starting your day. You wake up, you need to use the toilet, isn't it? So you need water to wash your face, to make coffee, to prepare for the day. So you need water. So at night, you know, you flip a switch for light to read, and maybe to read as maybe says school, your children to read for school. And help your children with their homework. So you flip on, you flip a switch, and then you have light. What happened? My nose are getting blocked up. I don't know what is going on with me. Is it the aircon or what? All right. Yeah. I have my nose now completely blocked. Yeah. So if my voice change a little bit, become a little bit wow or something like that, it's because of my nose that actually has completely blocked. All right. So, yeah, where were we? As I said, you know, for many of us, this is automatic. This, you know, you woke up, you have a toilet to use at home, you know, you have water, you know, to wash your face or to shower, to make coffee, to prepare food, to do what, you know, to prepare for the days. At night, you have light and all these kind of stuff. For many of us, these are automatic things, and we take it for granted. And we don't even think about it. Yeah? We don't even think about it. But the new data from the NSA tells us that in Kamango East, this is not the reality for the majority. So, and let's break that down. Let's look at that. So the report says that nearly half of all homes, in the region, almost one in every two families have no flushing toilet. Almost one in every two families have no flushing toilet. So even more shocking, it states that 50.5% of the household have no toilet at all. Not the pit latrine. Not a flushing one. The one just, you know, you make a hole and then you put a pot on it. So not even that. Nothing. Nada. Yeah? So that NSA, that's a report, statistic report from NSA. That's the census from the NSA. Data from the NSA. What happened to me? Gosh, my nose is completely blocked. Yeah. So in constituency like in Diona constituency, that number is 100% of homes without a flushing toilet. Now, you have to think about the health risk, the lack of privacy, the danger, especially...
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
What is wrong in this studio today? Huh? Is something I'm allergic to or what is that? Oh, my God. Huh? So now, I was talking about the Diona constituency, that number is actually 100% of homes without a flushing toilet. And I was saying, look, think about now in terms of health risk. You have to think about in terms now for you, privacy. Imagine for yourself the privacy, the danger, and especially for women and children when they have to go and fetch waters and all those kind of things. So then this is now the point I wanted to come to. So then there is water. Okay? The region is defined by a massive river, yet more than one in ten have no access to clean water. One in ten people have no access to clean water. So in the Mugwe constituency, nearly a third of residents are still getting their water directly from the river. Eh? So directly from the river. So I hope this is... Mr. Helmut is not included in this number, in these statistics. Yeah? So, in Mukwe constituency, nearly a third of residents are still getting their water directly from the river. So this isn't ascending walk to fetch a bucket of water. So this is a daily gamble with waterborne diseases, so like chlorella. And that's why the breakdown, you know, the breakout of chlorella in those regions, and the very real threat of crocodile attacks. So sometimes we don't make, because these are things that are far from away from us, we don't experience on a daily basis. It doesn't really register in our cup. Eh? It doesn't. Because it's far from, but believe me, these are fellow Namibians who still go to the bush to help themselves. we still don't have a flushing toilet. And access to, I'm even going far, access, this is what we're talking about, access to clean water. So, and when the sun goes down, well, more than half of the population, 57.4% to be exact, 57.4%. So there is no electricity. No electricity, no switch to flip. The reality is lamps, you know, candles, and the light from the cell phone. Now, if you can keep it charged anyway. So that's the reality. It's lamps, candles, and light from the cell phone if you kept it charged. You know, now, in this, an environment like this, my goodness, what happened to me? In an environment like this, how does a child study like this? How does a small business operate? How do you keep food or medicine refrigerated? And my dear listeners, this is not just numbers. These are fellow Namibians. These are not numbers. This is not just numbers. This is a daily reality that holds people back. A trap. It traps them in a cycle of poverty and risk that is... Oh my God. Which becomes so difficult to escape. It becomes so hard to escape. So it traps them in a cycle of poverty and risk that is hard to actually escape. All right? Something in this I'm allergic to, possibly. Now, here is where the story gets even more complex. All right? So, while these basic services are lagging behind, the population is also growing. The population is booming, actually. So the number of people living in Kavango East has shot up, has actually grown, with the annual growth rate more than doubling from 1.6 to 3.9. From 1.6 to 3.9, and that is a huge increase. That is a huge, huge increase. So, And as the people grow now, as this population grow, where are the people going? So where are the people moving? They are moving to town. They are moving to town. The data show a massive shift from a rural to urban areas. So more and more people are packing up and heading to places like Rundu. So hoping for what? Hoping for jobs, for schools, for a better life. So when they go to these places, when they go to town, they're hoping for a better life. And Rundu, as we know, is now Namibia's second most populated now. It's the second most populated town in Namibia. So people are moving. They are packing up and heading to town. So, but here's the critical angle. Critical angle the report hints at, okay, which also the report, I mean the article also allude, just not maybe getting too in details. The town can keep it up. So we realize, you can realize that now the town cannot actually keep up. It can't keep up. One third of all households in the region are now in informal settlement. So, one third of all household in the region, one third, listen to the statement. One third of all household in the region are now in form of settlement. People living in shacks and traditional huts. So people are moving to urban centers for opportunity, but they are met with overcrowded. They are met with overcrowded condition, living conditions, and the same lack of service they were trying to, you know, to escape. The very same lack of service they were trying to expect from the village is exactly what they found in town. And this creates a higher pressure situation. You know, many people, but not enough houses in towns. So many people come to town and there's not enough houses, more families, not enough toilets, taps, or power lines, you see? So it is a recipe for social challenges. It is a recipe for social challenges. And that's why towns are not coping. They can't keep up. So, and who is holding this household together? That's another way, there's another aspect we're looking at. Who's holding this household together? The data shows that a significant increase in female-headed house. So that has become a trend now. Houses, many houses in this region is headed by a female. So probably not only in Rundu, not only in Kavango, and in many other regions as well. Could be worse in other regions as well. So female-headed household up from, and this is, has increased from 45% to 53%. It has increased. Where are the men? Men, where are you going? Why are you leaving houses? Why are you leaving your homes? So what this means more women are the primary breadwinners and caregivers. I mean, you don't need data actually to notice that and to understand that actually. So if you go to many houses now, it's not only in Kavango, but anywhere, any regions. So many, many women, more and more women are the primary breadwinners and caregivers. And often now, the issue is that often with actually fewer resources, and less support. So they have few resources and they have actually less support. Those are coming from statistics, from the report, from NSA report. And as I said, this is not just statistics. It is a story about, this is a story when you listen, and I love statistics. So it's a story, it tells a story, a story about changing Namibian family. The immense pressure our mothers and sisters are under. It's telling a story. It's a story. So you might be thinking, is it all bad news? Is it all bad news? No, not entirely. So when you look into the article, it's not entirely bad news. Not all bad news. And this is where we have to be careful and analyze the whole picture, okay? Oh, God. I'm not feeling good, guys. All right? So, now, this is where we have to be careful. So, now, the report highlights some real progress in education. So, we're talking about now East Kavango East. So, it also highlights some real progress in education. So, the number of people completing secondary school is up. So number of people that are completing, pupils that are completing secondary school is really going up, it's growing up, it's increasing. And even better, the number of people with tertiary education, a degree or a diploma, has more than doubled. So that's a very positive. So we have people who actually that are graduating, finished their grade 12, and, you know, definitely getting into a situation that is, as we describe it, dire. Okay? Now, and I think when we're talking about now that the number of people with tertiary education, a degree or a diploma, has now doubled. Actually, that's fantastic news. That's a great news. Hopefully that learned people can be able to take other people out of poverty. But it shows that young people in Kabango East, are ambitious. Okay? They are studying. They are achieving. So it shows that. So it tells us that the potential in the region is actually enormous. So that's what this story is all about. So when we're looking at those data. So, but this is a big but, as always. So the report also revealed a worrying trend. There's also a very worrying trend. The number of learners in primary school has actually dropped slightly. So, and if you want to look at the story, as I said, this is a story from Anacleta in yesterday's edition of the Villager. So that it's also a story there, but you can also get your data from the NSA to go into details. So the number of learners in primary school has actually dropped slightly. So now let's explore this. Okay? How can this be? Because that's the first thing that comes to my mind. So how can it this be? On the other end, how can we be succeeding at the top end of the education while we seem to be failing at the foundation? So what is the problem? What is the problem? Does it mean, you started to think now, what could be the cause of this problem? So does it mean more children are not starting school? That could be a possibility. I'm looking at things which are not highlighted in the report or which are not highlighted in the article. Or are they dropping out along the way? What is happening? Are there many children that are dropping out along the way? Is this connected to the poverty we just talked about? It is connected to the poverty we just talked about. Are the children leaving school to help their families? So that could be also the case. Or is the distance, there could be many, many others. Is the distance to the nearest primary school simply too far for a small child to walk every day? So those are some of the issues that, immediately you start to think, what is going on? So I think this is a paradox we cannot ignore. Celebrating university graduate is important. But if the pipeline of primary school learners is starting to leak, we have a serious problem. Now that a serious problem, actually brewing, if you like, for the future. So, and of course, with any report like this, you get the official response. So the Kabango East governor, Julius Hambukwa, welcomed the data. Of course, he welcomed the data. He called it a factual snapshot, which is actually true. So it's a factual snapshot and a call to action. So I'm glad that he sees that way. So it's a factual snapshot and a call to action. So he promised that the information would not be left to gather dust on shelves, and that's also good to know, that would be used to plan better, allocate resources, and drive meaningful change. That's also good to know. So let's get to the line and see who is knocking on my door. Well, we missed you. So you may come back again. Try that again. We just actually missed you. So, knock on the door again, or at 333-66091. All right, or at 333-66091. So now the government promised that the information would not be actually be left to gather dust on the shelves, but will be used to plan better, to allocate resources and to drive meaningful change. Because that's what the data should do. And that's what the, now you know where to allocate your resources. You know where the change, where you need to drive change. You know how that would help to plan better, because now you have concrete, you have data to guide your development plan. And that's how it should be. When you have now the data for the region as a governor, definitely that's, it's not just a snapshot. Actually, it's a guide. It's evidence of where you are and where you need to be. So, and that's what the data should be able to help you to do that. So, and from the governor, these are the right words. I think from the governor, these are really the right words. They are encouraging words. If what the government is going to do. So, yeah.
You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, família. Tá doente, né?
Good morning. Bon dia. Como está?
Bon dia, pa. Tudo bem?
Yeah. Tudo bem.
Are you having a flu today?
Man, I think there's something I'm allergic to in the studio. I have no idea what it is, but...
Oh. Me, I can see you from here. Let me pray for you, because I ask my ancestors.
My friend, your prayer will not gonna work.
I have my ancestor behind me. I can see you.
no, don't. Otherwise, I'm gonna switch off this. You know, don't make me worried now. You know.
I don't know. You'll be fine.
Yeah. No. I just, the other thing. I have it worse today. I was exercising yesterday, and then Jenna hurt my back. I don't. And it's in pain. Believe me, it's in pain. But today, this morning in the studio, there's just something that my whole nose is just blocked. Yeah.
No. I think that it's just the weather. I think some people also they wake up the way in your system today.
Yeah.
I think the weather is also changing a bit.
Yeah. No. I.
You are not alone. Don't worry. You're not alone.
Well, deva hapwa dia deha moguli dandishi. Yeah. No. Mine is typical. I have to be. Yeah. All right, man. So what's your take? Yeah.
I like when you say there's nada, not nada, kabo, nada. I was just laughing when you say it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just think about like the state hospitals, the state is the one ordered the medications.
Mm.
But how come now the private is having medications but the state doesn't have? So the same system if you go to the system you are talking about the house, people who don't have good living standard, and you know it's still without water, electricity.
Yeah.
And you are behind because this system. Now I think about now the system will take longer to come and give us this right, this opportunity.
Yeah.
Before I was working, I was having energy, I was having a better job. Now I'm almost to go to 60. And they come, what they'll do to me now?
Mm.
They'll chase me away, or they'll give me this house. I think they need also to think about most of the things because of their problem, not our problem, their problem, because people are so long in this system of water and electricity.
Yeah.
Now, when you come now, they are old. They cannot afford to pay for these toilets because they must pay for it. Mm-hmm. The one you are going to build. So
that's a good point, because you think I have been waiting for years and now I will not be able to afford a flushing toilet. You know, neither I will be affording actually a brick house, for example.
Yes.
You know, and maybe because now I'm pensioned. I cannot afford building a house. Now, my children or my grandchildren would actually fall in the same circle of poverty. So and as you said, sometimes because of the delay of providing these social services, I think they should just provide it. I think that's the point you're making.
Yes. You know, especially when you go to, let's go to the mass housing.
Yeah.
The mass housing was released, I think, 2017, 16, somewhere there. So people, they be promised so they're going to get the houses. But from that year up to date, so it's almost like 15 or 11 to 12 years passed by. So think about, I was working that time when you have come with this this system to give us houses. I was thinking, okay, I can pay my house by 10 years. I'm okay. I can even manage to pay it.
Yeah.
But now I'm 60 now. So what you'll do now to those people?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Because you cannot say, okay, I cannot give you because most of them, they are not working anymore. They are impatient found now.
Yeah.
Because of you, that's your problem. Because you didn't come with you on time.
Yeah.
Because of this, you order the medications, but you find the medication at the private hospital.
Yeah. But the irony thing is in Kavango is that, you know, we are very close to water, but you have actually 57.4, you know, households that have no clean water.
And the other thing, man, in this statistic of Kavango and the other areas, to say women, they are home. What? They are home.
They are leading house. They are leading the they are female headed house.
But they need to come up to the reality to say these people, they were married or not, or they were just given kiss and the husband like a what's this song? Kazongo, Kazongo. This guy, I heard like Kazongo, this guy went to France, looked for a job, he never came back to his wife. Now the wife is living better, you want to...
there are many men that are in jail, that's also one thing. There are many men, it's more men who died, who are dying than women, you know. Those are some factors that actually contribute why. Some also that women, they, when men, let's say for example, you live with a man as a boyfriend, you live in their house or something like that, and then decided you are now pregnant, you have children, they don't want you anymore. So you go and have your own kabashu somewhere. So, and that's how it happens also. Yeah. So there are many factors that contribute to that, to female-headed households. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's, I was thinking about if it's death, I think the government need to look to do something very serious because if a man is dying so early because of stress and so on, then do something about it. Because these figures will give you something fish going on there. But why only women living a hold of the houses and the men are not there, no way to be seen? And if you think about if a woman cause a scene or maybe kill somebody, who will come to the newspaper like it's a joke? You know, it's not like nothing serious. You talk about it by one day, but if a man kill somebody.
Yeah.
That thing will go for a month.
Yeah. Mm.
So things need to also to balance, né? To balance there to say, okay, if our men dying something because of maybe something they might just go to this to research and find out why we are dying so early. I don't want to die early. Because of stress or because of lack of what's the problem?
Yeah, I think the balance that you're talking about, I think we also have to be careful that, you know, otherwise at one point men will rise as well. If they rise against women, that won't be a very good picture, you know?
Yeah.
So we need to balance things, you know, so that if men rise against women, it's not gonna be pretty, you know?
Yes, I think they need to be changed a bit to it's because why men are dying so early because of ABC. There's a reason why they're dying so early. So maybe because of stress, because I don't have a job. You know, sometimes these guys are work very hard, you know? And these guys are not integrated. These guys can work. But when the opportunity comes to apply for a job, I'm nowhere to be seen. They'll put the G, there's a name they call it when you're, I forgot the name of that thing. You're signed. So, but they'll put in that paper, you want a guy with this thing. But you never provide experience to me to have this kind of experience. But when you are, you want somebody, you put, I want somebody with a 5 years experience. And those guys, or those who went through grade 10, grade 12, they are now today, they are householders. They have they're householder, and for them to get a better job in government is difficult, very difficult. So they need also to look on those kind of things to see how they will play their game to put them in the same track.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, good morning. Our time is about 40 minutes past the hour of 9, and we still have about 20 minutes to go. So, and we're looking at the data that's just came out on Kavango East. Yeah, so analyze that. So we're looking at the... So I was just saying that the governor was the things that he was saying are quite right, where he said that, you know, he called it a factual snapshot. The data, it's a factual snapshot and a call to action. He said this, that he promised that the information would not be left to gather the dust on, excuse me, dust on shelves, but would be used, as I said, to plan, to allocate resources and drive a meaningful change.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, bro.
Now you've got the flu.
Man, I'm absolutely. I just want to get out of here. Actually,
is that the aircon, my friend, was in the office?
No, the aircon is. It was in the beginning, but I put it off a long time ago. And I even feel now. I feel hot, and I just don't know why. I'm that. When there is a little bit of a dust, I have a problem. Whenever there is a little bit of a dust somewhere, I'm allergic to dust. So I think I have a problem. There must be somewhere where there is a bit of dust, and that's why I experience this. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, you never played in the what? Tennis ball, almost dusty. That's why.
No, the dust on the ground. The dust on the ground. No, the dust on the ground, it doesn't do anything. I don't know why. The dust on the ground, it doesn't affect me. But any dust on a mat, I think on a piece of a cloth or whatever the case may be, a dust on
the problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. But on the ground, dust, it doesn't affect me. It's funny, yeah. That doesn't affect me, but the dust in a mat, on the mat or on the floor or something like that, that does. Yeah.
It's a problem.
Mm.
Okay, let us go to Kavango now.
Yeah.
With a basic necessity like water and electricity.
Yeah.
It's not only Kavango East, this all over the country.
Yeah.
Even in Windhoek, the same. We are facing the same, and in this country where we are, where people are crying even like a basic necessity like water and electricity, and a flushing toilet or just a toilet, so you cannot go and help yourself in the bush. It's where we have a Musha Tribune, it was on the news, where they are building even a toilet, one toilet costing 5,000, that's me. You don't know now if the toilet, people are going to sleep in there, a toilet costing a lot of money like that, or how?
But just imagine, sometimes when you get used to something, we'll, and you don't think, imagine just for a day, sometime in town, when we are in our own town, electricity just go for, let's say, for example, for 4 hours or 5 hours, and your life is completely like it has come to an end, you know?
Yeah.
Completely. Okay. It looks like if it has come to an end. And imagine someone, since now, it has been about 34 years,
yeah,
and still have no electricity, have no access to electricity, have no access to water, potable water, clean water.
I'm telling you.
And sometimes we don't see how, because it doesn't affect you directly, I only think that, you know, you have about 2 hours without electricity, and it's like the world has come to an end.
Yeah, the whole world is crashed on you.
Yeah. has really crashed on you. Yeah.
But this, somebody, this, you know, just made a special water.
Yeah, water.
I mean, I'm telling you, crucial. Will come to life, but just imagine every time.
I went last Saturday, last weekend. I visited a family in Angola, you know.
Yeah.
And well, we were in Nongiva, but we went to another place where we were some kind of in a village, and these people drink the water are coming from Omifima, you know.
Yeah,
so luckily enough, we went with our own water. And imagine.
Just imagine if you drink that water, my friend. You never, I'm telling you, you might end up with it from, let me tell you, you're from Montana.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to Engelstad, you pass that Engelstad to come to Shakati.
Yeah.
For treatment, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and
the thing is, what is happening in behind the Congo? This is just normal to those people. The water has out a bit. You wash it, you will even start itching your body.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, just imagine you are drinking this water. That's why I'm telling you, seriously, there are some people who are already enjoying the fruit of Namibia when it comes to independence.
Yeah.
Like nobody, they even live like they are not from Namibia. They are somewhere in America, maybe Los Angeles or in London. Somewhere in the UK.
Yeah.
Seriously. And then you have a lot of people who never ever tasted this cake of Namibia. Because what they know, just independence, celebration, but they never even think of like, if Namibian having a diamond or Namibia having a lot of fish species, like, because what they know, just Masbangel. And now you have people who are even complaining about, no, I'm hungry because now my mother, she bought me a Golf. But she's supposed to buy me a Mercedes. You see?
Yeah.
But you have somebody who just like, no, can I even just get a meal tomorrow to eat? You see? Really? But I'm telling you, you never see this, what is happening in the white community.
It's a system of governance that you have. It's capitalism. So if you want that to happen, maybe you need to move to socialism. So where you think...
It's what I'm saying.
Where we need to take care of everybody equally.
But it can work. Why China, I think, even some countries they're having, like Rwanda and the others, and the Burkina Faso. They're having, democracy.
Mm.
But it is, it's working in their country.
Yeah.
But ours here, we are capturing it because, my friend, you cannot tell me we are going to vote now, councillors. But those, remember, the councillor doesn't even live in the Kambashu, where he's representing it. He's living somewhere in Ubanaenda, and now he's been voted by what? By people who are living in Goria Harbor, in Kambashu.
Yeah.
It's about to see the same, live in the same situation, we know the problem. If you are having a flushing toilet, do you think you care about it? Because you don't care about a person waking up at 2 o'clock, going to help himself.
It doesn't affect you very much. And this is what exactly I'm saying, that when we're sitting right here, when you're sitting right in Windhoek, and maybe I'm in Ongodiva or something like that, and you hear people have no water, no flushing toilet, because it doesn't affect you on a daily basis, it's not something that's on your mind, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why there's no improvement.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if a director kid used to work, a director for education, this kid wants to walk like 5 kilometers to go to school. There will be improvement. You know why people are dropping out? I mean, the kids are not going to school.
Yeah.
Because of the distance.
Mm.
Sometimes people are even now, they know that they are in the poverty. They are not giving birth anymore, as usual. You see? Yeah. Now they become, yeah, just to have 2 kids or 3 instead of having 5. Because you know that the situation is very, very...
But actually, that's actually the contradiction. What you're saying is a contradiction with data. The data actually saying that the population is actually increasing. You know?
Increasing?
Yeah. So the population is increasing, actually even doubled.
You see now. But yeah. At the primary school, kids are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, so it's doubled. Where you have more poverty, it's where you have more increases of birth rate. You know?
Yeah, it's always like that because these people are spending much of their time in one in your tombo, and the tombo is.
Yeah,
because of the poverty. But seriously, I think your Kavango and Angwena, something needs to be done, man.
Yeah.
These people are left behind because remember one thing that you know, these people are in the dire poverty. You talk about school, you talk about hostel, you talk about road network, almost everything is just between Angwena and the Kavango.
Yeah.
Which really, I think, something needs to be done. Really. Because you cannot tell me the whole 35 years, but some of our people never even know, the resources which we're having in Namibia.
Yeah. So we're talking about Diona and then what is the Mutwe Consortium? We're not talking about even about there are in Diona what's the reason where there is absolutely nada, nothing, no flashing toilet. We're talking about not even latrine. What is that? The pit latrine. People go to the bushes to help themselves. So
that.
We're talking about the whole constituency.
Yes.
So after 35 or 34 years of independence, you know? So
that's what I'm...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, eh? I think it's a hard time also when we are doing budgeting. Let us look to mostly for the town are not developed to get a hang changa for budget. Because remember, window goes always stopping when it comes to allocated money.
Mm.
But we have a town which are mostly people affected and they are not developing because they never receive enough cake of that budget.
And these are the villages that I talked about, the risk of cholera and all this. These are the villages where this is actually broke out. I mean, so because during the rain seasons, you know, we go and help ourselves and the water is actually going to the river. That's where we actually
We are drinking that water.
We're drinking and, come on.
Swimming Jesus. And everything. Yeah. Yeah, you see now?
Yeah.
That's a problem. Huh? You see, ourselves, we are creating all those problems. This is just like a... What do you call this? Hepatitis E, which was in Havana, dominating Havana. Just imagine a 10 house selling one toilet.
Mm.
Serious, guys. Just imagine I'm learning how to I wanted to use a toilet. Now you are finding a queue there. Yeah?
A queue for the toilet,
A queue for the toilet. Come on, man. Then we're telling, we are Namibia, we are doing better. Doing better way. Our population is very small.
If you are sitting on the table, you kind of said we are doing better because you know sometimes you don't think that you don't think that everybody is not on the table. You are on the table. You say we are doing very well, you know, because you are on the table. So,
guys,
all right.
But I think it's a hard time also. This community, committee which we are having, which are going around to check what need to be improved. Really, they need to come up with a solution where their things and budget need to be located. Because remember, we have this what they call this way they are going around even the hospital. Let's go to Angela, my friend, and you see.
Yeah.
How bad is that hospital? But there you have a director, you have a matron, but I don't know really what these people are doing. People need to start firing people. So they can improve our services really.
yeah, yeah.
All right, Mike.
All right, thank you, man.
Sure.
A very good morning to you. Our telephone number is our 333-66091. Our 333-66091. So, Tom, we still have about 6 minutes to go before we come to an end of unpacking the day today. So, where is the disconnect?
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good, good. A long time, almost 3 days.
Exactly.
Okay, your kawango is...
Yeah.
Yeah, the development is not moving with the people.
Yeah.
And what I saw it and I'm grateful for the data is that that area is making it difficult for people, especially the traditional authority.
Mm.
Because they don't want to allocate land to the people so that they can be living on traditional way of living.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they driving people to go to the urban area, which their town are not ready.
Exactly.
Or those villages are not ready to move on with the development, which means where you are going to occupy it is not yet procured. It's not yet planning to be.
It hasn't really. Actually, they aren't planned. There's no plan that was, which was meant to extend that town to that area. It was not even in the plan of the town. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are now where we finding people because it's a very expensive. You know, as I used to say, the value and the condition or the way of making money is not a sand player.
Mm.
It's a reality thing. So the money that they are investing to developing those or to putting up those infrastructure and in sanitation and what is they have to locate the money from somewhere.
Yeah.
Where it's also not yet developed. So at the end of the day, they are integrated in those settlements, which is addressing as illegally occupied because in Namibia we have also law that said when you allocate somebody, you must make sure that you put your infrastructure that is needed by that person.
Mm.
So now we call these people is a illegal occupation, informal settlement, which is not yet formalized. So on those are the things that they need to look at, it, especially Okavango, both Okavango East and West, and their traditional authority that they are also driving people to that certain extent, which is making people or life difficult for them to communicate with the town that their people are occupied. If you look at those shacks with the plastic, those traditional hut, which is also not well, because it can also bring up this wildfire, which is also destroying some of the places in the coast.
Yeah, taking lives as well, actually.
Yeah, so those are the things that we need to discuss instead of that. Remember when we were talking about the data, NSA data?
Yeah,
to identify how many people are academically qualification, how many people are reaching the grade 12, how many people are reaching the grade 10, which is up to now, the NSA doesn't have that standard of saying we uploaded this only the form of you uploading your qualification, academical qualification, or your level that you are having there. What they have is just a secondary primary, I mean, data, which yeah. is, you feel it in one form. How many are you in the house?
Yeah.
How many people are reaching grade 10? How many people are reaching grade 6? So that one is not yet confirmed to say, okay, if you are bringing up the development or if you are bringing up the, we end up located money to give to the those constituency for them to develop like the way we were doing the water, rural water supply, which was happening in 1999, between 1999 and 2005 there. Yeah, it's, I don't know whether we have such as a people because they left to come and live in industrial town. So it's also, as I said, we are very, very behind when it comes to development. Yeah, those are the problems that we have. Those are the problems that you can compare to say, even if you look at Windhoek, it's the same. Yes, Windhoek, where the people are occupied, those informal settlements, the city of Windhoek not yet reaching that area. So, and the other issue which I wanted to bring up, okay, never mind. One day. So those are the problems that we have with the government.
Yeah.
That the shortage of the houses.
Mm.
The investment which people they don't understand is that if you are working and you are your house allowance is qualified with 300,000, you cannot get a house in Windhoek or a bricking house yet because the market house that is exists are 500 to 600.
Yeah.
You see now. So you cannot get the house. And the bank, you know, these are just estimated money. That is what people they don't understand. When you are estimated that you can afford to pay 300,000 in 5 years term, it doesn't say you have money in hand. So somebody have to risk and making sure that you are paying that is you are stick to that installment, which is the financial lender or the banks of Namibia, the commercial banks which is in Namibia. They don't want him to invest or to affecting their house market with a lower price. So it's another issue which is the former minister of urban and rural development from Minister Utoni, who said why we can't consider about the material for us to see that okay every house that is painted it's like we have Oshuambo have a word that they say. So it's the same. If the house constructed with the bricks, that is the person make itself.
Yeah.
You come and analyze it. You bring up the engineers.
Yeah.
That they can check whether those bricks in they cannot break.
Mm.
And that is what's happening to Nigeria. There. Mm,
mm.
They have those bricks which is not really so.
Super
there is a lot of there is a lot of manipulation which is there or dictating which is in some way somehow that is making people not to having those flush toilet.
Yeah.
But if the money those village councillor could be located in some small money to say okay, this is what we are doing. They putting up those sanitation pipeline.
Yeah.
So, and people, they bring it themselves with the engineers, private engineers into, to construct it just small toilet, like the one I saw it in Okuriangava, it was also in Babylon somewhere long back there. So you, on your earth, you just putting like a flushing toilet and water point. So it also can help people.
Yeah.
So that is. But now we are talking about 100 and something again for that infrastructure because if you're putting up a toilet, sometimes some people they ask 200,000.
Exactly. Yeah. We are trading on Tate France time now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay, no, it's fine. Yeah.
All right. No, man, thank you for coming through this morning, yeah?
Yeah,
all right.
All right. And that bring us to the end of unpacking the day today. It has been really tough for me. you know, okay. So, but we made it. So, yeah, let's cross to Windhoek, to Tate France for Kutha Mosha, coming up right away. So, and thank you for those who have taken part in the program this morning and for calling in and contributing. Let's do that again tomorrow morning at the same time here on Eagle FM on Unpacking the Day tomorrow. So from me, it's a goodbye and see you tomorrow.